This is something I look forward to every year, not the door prizes, but this is something I look forward to every year, a chance to hear from one of my colleagues. I was privileged for quite a number of years to sit on the board of directors with this gentleman. He is not a member of the board of directors at present, but he reaches all of our homes every month, well, 11 months a year, but who's counting? He edits the Braille Monitor. How many of you get the Braille Monitor? Yay! How many of you don't get the Braille Monitor? Those of you who don't get the Braille Monitor, I'd like to see you get the Braille Monitor. So see somebody, I'm trying to think of who to see. Gary, you could take their name, right? see Gary sometime during the weekend. He will take your name and address and see that you get it in the format that you want. There are plenty of ways to get it nowadays, a lot more than the old Braille ink print and horribly floppy disks that preceded the tapes, those silly paper-thin recordings that we used to get. However, I found him to be a very open, fair, thoughtful, considerate. I can't think of too many superlatives for the gentleman. There are very few people that I would call a gentleman. That's another superlative in my mind. There are a lot of men and women in this room, but very few of us are ladies and gentlemen. I'm not even sure if I'd call myself a gentleman. No. But having said that, Gary is a gentleman. Gary has brings reason to our board. Gary brings reason to me sometimes. When I ask him for advice, I know I'm going to get a reasoned response. Even if he might not have heard of my problem before, I'm going to get a reasoned response. And if not, I will get one a few days later when he had a chance to think about it. So he is going to give us some reasoning. He's going to reason with us. He's going to share with us some of the thoughts that he has concerning our national movement, our national office, our national programs. He's also going to probably share some of his reflections on New York with us, because that's something else that we get to do. I enjoy doing what he's doing today, and one of the immense joys of the job of being on the national board is getting to travel and do these things. I've gotten to do it many times on during my tenure on the board, and I always look forward to the next assignment. It's like the next season is coming. I sometimes jump the gun and call the president's office and say, what are my plans, where should I be going? And sometimes he'll tell me, and sometimes he wants to send me to places that I couldn't go, didn't want to go, but even where I didn't want to go, I went there. And there have been a few that, like this weekend, there are 7 conventions being held. I don't know how he found 7 people to cover these conventions. I'm sure he's doing one himself. At any rate, enough of my talk. Let you hear from a wiser man than I. I give you Gary Wunder.
I understand a great deal of research went into that theme song, and I appreciate it. Somebody can explain it to me after a while, but at least it's not, oh, I wonder, 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 or Wonder Bread helps you build strong bodies in 12 ways. How many of you remember that one? And then there's always the question, are you Stevie's brother? Which usually, if I say yes, is followed by, can I borrow some money? So I'm not Stevie's brother, and I don't have much musical talent, but I do have some things that I'd like to share with you this morning about what's going on in the National Federation of the Blind. I'd like to bring you greetings from our president, Mark Riccobono. He is at a convention this weekend. He's at a convention many, many weekends. He's a great guy. I went to visit him the other day, and he had me to his house because I was coming in on a Sunday evening to go to a parental rights conference the next day, and he said, I don't want you and Lisa Maria to be having to scrounge around the center for food. So he invited us over and we had dinner, and it was really great because after dinner we got to witness a sports event. seems that his children had created this new game called Boomer Boomer. And Boomer Boomer is one where you throw a big old ball back and forth and you have these goals. And the trouble was that Mark and Melissa didn't realize that Boomer Boomer was going to be played downstairs, and in the middle of the field was this television set. So we had to talk about the correctness of the playing field, and the game was abbreviated, but it was great. Mark Riccobono is a sports fan, so we had Boomer Boomer going on downstairs and the Green Bay game going on upstairs, and it was a really fun thing to do. Well, one of the things that the president asked me is to come and to talk about the National Federation of the Blind, but also to find out about the imaginative ideas that you have. What is it that we want the National Federation of the Blind to be? So, not only am I supposed to run my mouth, but I'm supposed to use my ears to listen to what you think and what you have to say about the direction you want the organization to go. I'll be around here all day. I certainly want to pay attention to the convention session as it's going on, but catch me before the banquet, catch me after the banquet. Let's visit about the future that you envision for this organization. You know, one of the things that New York has been very active in is helping us work on an educational issue surrounding Amazon. Amazon wanted to get $30 million from your New York City schools in order to put its product in the schools. And we had to fight that, of course, because Amazon, although it may be great for doing some casual reading, doesn't give us the kind of reading experience we need if we're going to be students. So we're working on these things, and thank goodness that we've had some good luck in dealing with these folks. There are lots of issues we have to address. We have to address high-stakes testing. We have to address accessible course software management systems. All of these are crucial if people are going to get a good education that is going to qualify them for employment. And employment is definitely a part of what most people view as necessary to full integration of blind people. Well, you know, we're nearing the end of our 75th year anniversary celebrations, but weren't they fantastic? I had such a fantastic time. I gotta confess, I was a little bit worried about whether it could live up to all of the hype. But wasn't that a fantastic banquet speech, a fantastic presidential report? I love that Guinness World Record thing we did. That was a lot of fun. But of course, there were a lot of things that we did that were more than celebration. We had our 75 days of action. How many new chapters did you guys get here?
Leadership moved down to one. We have one forming and leadership moved.
Okay. How many new members did you get?
Long Island got three. We got more than
that. Okay, well.
City got plenty.
Okay. Good, good, good. Good.
Syracuse and Buffalo picked up.
So
we're all picked up.
Okay, good. So we're in the fourth largest state in the nation in terms of population. There are lots of folks that need our help. Membership really is our first priority. It is our most urgent priority because not only do we find in new members new leaders, new sources of inspiration, but we also meet the very real need of continuing the work that we do. You know, the work is not just to go and get members, but to show them that they have a say in what happens in our organization. And the same is true for our long-term members. Our 75th year anniversary is not just to go out and get new people, but it's to re-energize those of us who sometimes take our organization for granted, and to re-energize us and all of the things that we want to do. You know, I have to crow a little bit. During our Diamond anniversary, the seven states got to host the national convention, and not to put too fine a point on it, but Missouri was one of those states. So I really like that, and I think it was wonderful. How many of you participated in the Guinness World Record activity? Well, a goodly number of you. So there were 2,480 of us that were officially out there holding up umbrellas. Wasn't that whoosh really something? That when all those umbrellas went up.
Oh, yeah.
And what was cool was that our people were quiet enough that not only did you get to see it visually, but you could actually hear it. It was a fantastic moment. Now, there are people who can get certificates for these things if you want them. If you were a participant and you'd like a certificate showing that you were a part of a Guinness World Record, you need to call our national office and dial extension 2216, and we'll get you signed up for a certificate. It's a great thing to have. We've been working a lot on communication, and of course, I'll talk with you a little bit about some of those. Carl mentioned the Braille monitor to you already and how it's available in many, many different forms: Braille, print, web, podcast. I don't know what else we can do to make it more available. But we are also working hard on social media, because social media is where a lot of young people are. So we've got to have our message out there, articulated very clearly, updated very frequently. And so we've hired a coordinator for social media. Her name is Danielle Trevino. And any of you who want to learn about how to use social media and do membership engagement and work on a plan of action should give her a call. She's at the National Center for the Blind, Danielle Trevino. Here are some action items as well. We need to contact the White House to let the administration know that it is time to upload the internet regulations that they say they've been working on. You know, there's been a question about whether the ADA applies to the internet, and most courts have concluded that it does, but we don't have regulations yet that talk about that. So we have corporations and all kinds of other organizations who are struggling with, well, what do we have to do? What is it that makes us compliant? So we're trying to direct email to the disability office at the White House. So if you will write and say, we need these internet regulations out, you can do that by writing to disability@whoeop.gov. disability@whoeop.gov. And the phone number, if you'd rather call them, is 202-456-1212. Now, it seems that the Department of Defense has just signed a contract for $4.3 billion with a company known as Cerner. Those of you who know about hospitals and clinical management systems know that Cerner is a big player in this field. I'm a former employee of Cerner, and I can tell you that Cerner's awareness about blind people is minimal. So if we're going to have all of the electronic records of the military handled by Cerner, we need to make sure that there is accessibility, because there will be jobs that come along with that electronic record management. If you have experience either with Cerner or the Department of Defense medical system, I'd like you to call Valerie Yingling, Y-I-N-G-L-I-N-G. She's a paralegal at the center, and her extension is 2440-2440. Now, I've been reading this book on learning, and it says that good learning doesn't just happen by listening to a lecture, but by quizzing people periodically on what you've said. So I'm going to employ that this morning, and I'm going to ask you little questions about what I've said. For instance, why do we want to contact the White House? Internet regulations. Very good. Very good. Okay. So one of the things we do every year is we have a Washington seminar. This year it's going to be from January 25th to 28th. And we're going to be working on several bills. Now, let me tell you that you need to look in the upcoming issue of the Braille Monitor for November about changes to the Washington seminar, because you know how Diane McGeorge used to make all the hotel reservations? Well, now the hotel is going to be making all of those reservations, so you're going to have to call them directly. You can still work with Diane and Lisa Bonderson on logistical issues like, I need meeting rooms for this, that, and the other thing, but we are changing the way that we handle the Washington seminar. So why are we going to the Washington seminar? Well, we're going to talk about H.R. 188 and S. 2001. Any idea what that is? Time Act. Very good. Very good. It's sponsored by Greg Harper. Who's the Senate sponsor?
Kelly Ayotte.
Kelly Ayotte. That is correct. Very good. Now, we're going to do that because we've got a situation in this country where people with disabilities are paid pennies per hour for the work that they do. And the minimum wage that everybody talks about as being inadequate and needing to be raised, they're exempt from. We got to change that. You know, we've got sheltered workshops in this country that get all kinds of advantages for being sheltered workshops. They are tax exempt. They are not for profit. They get special preferences in government contracts. That means that everything is tilted in their favor precisely because some of the people that they work with may not be able to meet production standards. Now, they tell us that they don't make any money, that if they had to pay minimum wage, they'd go out of business. But what are the salaries of their executives? And what are the other programs that those sheltered shops fund that have nothing to do with the people who work inside the shops? We need to think about this, and we need to work hard on the Time Act. Now, we used to have a Teach Act. You all remember what that was? Yeah. Okay, so I won't ask you to say teach, because Lord McLarney always did that. What was the act changed to? There you go. But it's now been changed again because we found that there was already a SMART Act in the Congress. So just this morning, I learned from Bree that that SMART is no longer the thing. It is the Accessible Instructional Materials in Higher Education Act, AIM. The AIM Act, okay. So one more time. Accessible Instructional Materials in Higher Education Act. Very good, very good. It is long, but just take aim at it and you'll learn it fine. All right, so who is it that you contact if you know something about the Department of Defense or Cerner? Yes, Valerie Yingling. Hey, at least I didn't ask you her extension, right? Okay, so, very good. This active learning stuff really is true then, isn't it? Okay, so we've got the Blind Persons Return to Work Act. Anybody know what that's all about? We got some disincentives in Social Security. It's called an earnings cliff. It says that if you make $1 over the earnings amount, you lose everything. That's not the way a program that gives assistance ought to work. So what we're proposing is, of course, for every $2 that a person earns, you get deducted $1 so that you have an incentive to work. There's been some recent changes. If you've been on the internet in the last few days, you saw that the House and Senate passed a Budget Reconciliation Act that the president is going to sign, and it will have as part of its provision testing this concept about whether eliminating the Social Security disincentive will really cause blind people and others with disabilities to go to work. We're still working on the Marrakesh Treaty so that when a book gets created, it can be shared across borders. You may remember that Harry Potter was recorded 7 times for English-speaking countries because we were not allowed to share what we did in the United States with Canada and Europe and all of the other places. So we're working on that. We're working on the Space Available Act so that disabled veterans can take the advantage of the military flights that very often could help them get to medical appointments and other such things. Disabled veterans have been left out of that, but we're going to fix it. Now, we're also working on a model act that we're going to send around to all of the states. And we're going to do this because we've had far too many situations in which the right to be blind parents has been questioned. All of you know about the case in Missouri where the couple goes to the hospital and they have their baby, and the social worker gets called in and she asks all the right questions, you know, how will you feed? How will you diaper? How will you pay attention to the child? Got all the right answers, but the question to which she got the wrong answer was, will you have somebody with you 24/7 with sight? And when the answer to that question was no, her answer was, I cannot in good conscience send this beautiful little baby home with two blind parents. 57 days and $10,000 later, we got the child back. That sounds like a happy ending, of course. But the trouble is that the opportunity to nurse was gone. Why? Because the milk goes away if the child doesn't take it. So we've got a lot of work to do about this. And it's not just fighting in the courts. It's getting to the social service agencies so that we don't have this problem in the first place. So how do you take the offensive without being offensive? And how do you deal with these problems before they become problems? So this is one of the things we're working on. The other issue is, what do you do when you have people who are blind, who frankly are willing to admit that they don't have parenting skills, but they know a child is on the way and they need the education? Well, you turn to the National Federation of the Blind, and we're going to work on all of that. Now, one of the things that we've found recently is we've had trouble getting around in taxi cabs. They don't want us to pay with real money anymore. They want us to pay with cards, and they want us to pay using systems that they're supposedly not allowed to touch, but they're not accessible to us. We've had some recent victories in that. Verifone is working with us really closely to make their systems accessible. Some others have not been quite so cooperative, so we've filed suit against RideCharge. We now have a comprehensive settlement with them, and our work with Creative Mobile Technologies means that accessibility is on the way for almost all providers of transportation services in the country. So hallelujah to that. Okay, so you folks know about NFB Newsline, right?
Yes.
You know about the news, you know about the weather, you know about the TV services. Well, we're working on enhancing the job listings functions that are there. There's more than one job service in the country, so we're trying to get that so that it figures out where you live and how many miles you want to search in and what areas, and we're going to increase that. Currently, we have 110,000 subscribers to NFB Newsline. That's amazing. Last year, we received 2,410,734 calls. That's a big number when you think about it. And of course, those are just the calls we can measure. We get a lot of things through Newsline in your pocket, the Newsline app that we have on the iPhone, the NLS players, and all kinds of things. It's a fantastic service. Please, take a look at your Braille monitor. We are congratulating Newsline on 20 years of service, and I think that's absolutely fantastic. Some of you know we've been working with museums pretty diligently, because many of us find that we go to museums only because our children want to go to museums. There's not much for us to see. So we have a grant from the National Science Foundation. It's a 3-year grant for $1.5 million, and we're going about the country making museums accessible for blind people. That's a cool thing. We're working on Braille. You know about the Braille program already. You should know about the National Reading Media Assessment, so that when kids go into school, we have a test that they can use to determine whether they should be Braille readers, print readers, or both. You know that we've put out a book. Sharon Manecki has written it, on talking about how you handle people who need dual media. That's a great book. You ought to read it. If you want, you can look at nfb.org/education to get a feel for all of the work that we're doing. Lots of people say, there's so much technology out there, I just need a resource list so I know where to look. Well, we have a resource list out there. It's at nfb.org, and believe it or not, the web address is technology-resource-list. That's not very hard, right? Then people say, okay, you can give me the resource list, but I actually need information. I need people discussing how they use this stuff. I need to see the pros and the cons. So we have an assistive technology blog, again, nfb.org/at-blog. All right, so technology tips, we've got the same thing. What do you suppose its name would be? attips.blog. All right. So Carl talked about the Braille monitor. I just want to say a thing about the presidential release. I hope all of you are getting the presidential release. I hope you play it at your meetings. It's available through a podcast. It's even available for your at-large chapters by telephone. That telephone number, if you need it, is 443-341-4234. Think about it. That testing, you know, 443-341-4234. Yeah, we have that in the Braille monitor. I appreciate the fact that you folks are active in the vehicle donation program. It helps us out quite a lot. I want to stay within my time frame, and it looks like I've used up about 27 minutes, so let me go to the part of the program that brings about some competition, and that is I want to talk with you about the work that we do on fundraising. You know about the pre-authorized contribution program? It takes checks, it takes credit cards, and all that sort of thing. Well, I want you to know, since Bree is here, that Texas is number 10 in the country. Who do you suspect number 9 is? New York. Yeah, you got $1,123. Now remember that number, $1,123. You have 27 people giving. So for the crowd that you have here, we could probably do a little better than 27. Now, there are some states that are right ahead of you that it would be great if you would knock off. And I hate to observe that one of them is Missouri, which is number 8. We are at 1,212. That means that as much as I hate to say it, you could knock off Missouri this weekend with a moderate increase in PAC. And I would have to go home and say that we were no longer number 8. Of course, if you know, I wouldn't want you to limit your picking on to Missouri. You could knock off Nebraska. They're at 1,332. And if you're going to pass Missouri, please, please knock off Nebraska so that there are some other changes too. Now, if you really want to hit the big time, why don't you knock off California? Because they're at 1,481. Wouldn't that be fun? I mean, it really would be fun. It really would be fun. And I wouldn't mind going home and encouraging Missourians to do a little bit more based on all of this.
Maryland.
Well, yeah, that would be great if you could knock off Maryland. Now, you also know that there's a Shares Unlimited in NFB, and there's a Kenneth Jernigan Fund. You're doing pretty good there. On the KJ Fund, you are number 13. You could move that up a little bit. You got $500 a month there. You could certainly move ahead of Kentucky. Kentucky also has 500 too. So you can move up a great deal. You got to beat Ohio. If you move up $75, you'll be number 8 in the country and knock off Ohio. And I'd be glad to go back and tell Barbara Pierce and Eric Duffy and those folks. Folks, you've been very kind. You've been very quiet while I've been talking, and I appreciate it. I hope you've taken notes, because the point isn't for me to just get up here and beat my gums, but it's actually to give you some action items that will help you build and strengthen the National Federation of the Blind. What we do is serious business when it comes to being able to get people an education, being able to get people jobs, making certain that people get to hang on to their kids. Yeah, we're a volunteer organization. And yeah, sometimes we have to nickel and dime it. But what we do is really serious business, and I thank you for being a part of it.
Thanks, Gary.